We continue our study of divine guidance. We're coming here at the subject from the perspective of following Jesus, our shepherd. God's guidance is not about getting us to where we want to go, but getting us to where he wants to take us. That, of course, is not always mutually exclusive, but the distinction is important, and we continue to stress that distinction throughout the study. Today, we consider how the guidance of God in our life is progressive. Now, we've mentioned this in passing, but we want to make it our focus today. Sometimes, where God wants to take us requires several steps to get there. This is important because we must always deal with the clear issue of obedience that is in front of us, and then trust that in the end, God's leading will turn out for his glory and for our good. We must always deal with the clear issue of obedience in front of us, and trust that in the end, God's leading will turn out for his glory and our good. When we have a large goal in mind, we understand that we can't get there all at once. I mean, this is just in life in general, not talking about God's guidance. If I were playing this platform game and I wanted to get to this level, I wouldn't be able to jump high enough to do that. I can get to that level, however, I can get to that goal, but only by changing my focus to a more accessible goal, something that is within my reach. And if I put enough of those intermediate goals together, then I can get to where I want to be. Let's say I want to become successful in a certain career. That usually means getting some schooling or some training, starting out entry level, doing a good job, and gradually working my way to the top. Anyone with any maturity understands that I don't get to the top by snapping my fingers. I don't get there by magic. There's a cause and effect series of steps that are necessary to progress. Divine guidance is not magic. It's providence. Magic, of course, magic is an illusion. It's not real, but magic is our attempt to sidestep cause and effect to get what we want. And sometimes we treat divine guidance like that. We ask God to just kind of magically take us to the end of the path without actually walking that path. But that isn't how Jesus leads us. Providence is God exercising his sovereignty to get us where he wants us to be, where he wants us to go, by establishing the cause and effect path that best gets us there. Now, the Lord will move mountains to guide us. He'll move mountains to guide us in doing his law. Remember, we talked about what guidance involves, his law, which is summarized by love, Christ's character, and the fruit of the Spirit, and Christ's mission. And I think appreciating this distinction may help us understand God's response to some of our requests for guidance. For example, let's say that a couple wants a great marriage. Maybe they're engaged and they want to start off really well, or they're married and they want their marriage to improve. And so they ask the Lord to guide them and to lead them to that goal. But many couples find, of course, that they can't jump that high. And God does not give them the ability to magically jump that high and just to have this great marriage just by snapping his fingers. Because while God also wants us to have a great experience in marriage, we tend to think about that simply in terms of pleasant experiences, while God thinks of a great marriage in terms of what is truly lovely and holy. He thinks of it in terms of his law, summarized in love, Christ's character, and Christ's mission, always. Two people can get married for any reason and for any goals. Sometimes simply just to enjoy each other's company. But God has higher aspirations for us. And if we want a good marriage from his perspective, it's going to take some effort to grow, and it may take some time to achieve. A great marriage requires a minimum foundation that the Lord lays out in his word. That would be, first, a couple must leave the authority and support of the parents to embrace together the authority and support of Jesus Christ, so that Christ is the Lord of their home. It's something both of them need to do if they want to have a great marriage. The more they learn to find their lives individually and together in Christ, the greater their marriage will be. Second, the couple must learn the mutual commitment of friendship, watching each other's back, keeping each other warm, lifting up each other, all the things that Solomon talks about there in Ecclesiastes. And the better a couple become friends and care for each other, the greater their marriage will be. And third, a couple must invest in sexual faithfulness, treating their sexual relationship as holy and exclusive. And the more they focus on each other and say no to involvements with other people, the greater their marriage will be. If a couple just focuses on what they want, a great experience of marriage, they won't be sensitive, perhaps, to what God wants. And a request for a great marriage becomes a wish for magic, just kind of, you know, snap the fingers and just get us there. But God doesn't do magic. But what he will do is exercise sovereignty to help us grow in our character, according to his word, to get us to where God wants us to go, which is always at least as good or better than our own desires. Guidance is progressive. The best goals in life require spiritual growth and maturity. They don't just happen all at once. Even Jesus had to learn obedience before he could perform the obedience that would change the world. We looked at this verse earlier, and it talks about how, you know, the paths of righteousness are a life journey from spiritual infancy to adulthood. It's good for a child to want to be an adult and to have the freedoms and the accomplishments of adulthood. But the only way to get them is to grow up. Sometimes where we ask God to take us is a good goal, but requires that we first learn to distinguish, for example, good from evil in some areas. And if, you know, until we learn to do that, we're not going to be able to go any further along that road. Our goals for guidance are usually those of a child. We want to stop hurting. We want to have something nice. And God may want those very things for us. But more than those things, God wants to transform us into the glorious image of Christ. That is his agenda. That's what guidance is about. Even when that's not what we really care about. Or more likely, even when we can't see how Christ's likeness even relates to God's guidance. Even then, God's guidance will always work to transform us from glory to glory. He's always more interested in guiding us than we are in following him. But to make any progress, we have to care about God's agenda. We have to care about his will. We have to care about Christ's character. We have to care about his mission. In this short lesson, let me just to kind of tell you a story, because it may be a little hard to grasp. But let me tell you a story about, well, how I first learned this fact personally. I grew up in Annapolis, just on Weems Creek as a teenager. And after high school, my parents sponsored me to go to the University of Maryland. I worked summers, but they paid most of the bills. They were so proud, and they looked forward to my degree in physics, which is what I wanted ever since I was 10 years old. While at college, Jesus found me, and he called me. And over the next few years, my life turned upside down. I still would graduate in physics, but in my senior year, I let my parents know that something had changed. And instead of graduate school in physics, I was looking at a graduate school that was a seminary. Well, that caused an explosion in my non-Christian home. I mean, the ingratitude after they worked so hard to send me to college. And I mean, it was hard work for them to put together enough money to get me there. And there was some weeping, and they were certain, and they told me in so many words that I was throwing my life away. Well, I was determined, and I knew that I'd be on my own to pay my way, of course, so it'd probably take me twice as long to get through seminary, but this, it was my life, you know, to decide. So I went back to College Park, and for several weeks, I focused on applying to a seminary. But during that time, I went to a conference on spiritual growth. It was a very challenging conference. And we reviewed God's love and his direction for love in his law. We looked at the Ten Commandments and how Jesus said that if we loved him, we would obey him. Ten Commandments don't save us, but if you're saved, they tell us how to follow God. They tell us about his guidance, what he wants us to be, how he wants us to live. Well, after that conference, one commandment just kept coming up in my mind. I didn't call it to mind. It just kept coming there. And that was the fifth commandment, to honor your father and mother. And I realized that in all my passion to serve Christ, I really hadn't thought very much about obeying what I already knew he wanted. I was asking him what seminary to go to and how to fulfill this dream and how's he going to guide me to this. But he'd already told me stuff that he wanted. He wanted me to honor my father and mother. Not obey them, but honor them as an adult. Well, after some prayer and soul searching, I went home. And I got my parents together and I told them that I knew that God wanted me to go to seminary. But I didn't know when. I couldn't pretend that I did. Now, my dad was just retiring from a very hard career in the FAA, and he was about to pursue his long dream of opening up a photo studio. In fact, this picture you're seeing was on his card, the House of Photography, and he also supported himself. He would support himself with wedding photography, which I had done with him some. So I said, look, why don't I just take the next year or two off to help you get this new business going? Because I can do that. I can go to seminary later. Well, they were surprised. And they said, well, you know, we'll talk about this some more. So I went back to college. And the next few weeks at university were filled with changing gears, getting my mind around being a photographer and putting off the other. I went home about 2 weeks later. And this time my parents called me aside. And I remember the conversation, and I remember one line in particular. I remember it word for word. It's not the kind of thing you forget. And they said, Glenn, we don't know what's happened to you, but whatever it was is good. And they told me they thought I should go to seminary. And not only that, but they would continue to pay the bulk of my education just as before. That was a big deal in my early Christian walk. This picture is not from my first seminary graduation, but later on, my Doctor of Ministry graduation. And I use it to show how one simple decision to obey can actually be God's path to unexpected blessing, what I had wanted and more so. I did go to seminary and I did go on from there. My family harmony was not shattered, but maintained. And because I only had to work in the summer, I spent lots of time on campus. I lived on campus. And I had a chance to get to know the seminary bookstore bookkeeper, Mickey. And that was all because I was willing to put God's commandment before my plans. I didn't see any connection between the fifth commandment and my plans. But in God's providence, they were connected, and they were connected in larger ways than I realized. You'll notice a little kid there at the bottom. Maybe that's why this became a life verse for me, my first life verse, that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God is always looking for those who are looking to follow him. After all, Jesus did not come and give us a map. He came and gave us himself. He is our way, our truth, and our life. We don't need to connect all the dots in our future journey. What we need is to stay close to our shepherd by recognizing that the next step in his guidance may be to simply obey what we already know is his will. To phrase it as a principle, when things are fuzzy, when you don't know how Christ is leading in a particular situation, ask him to guide you, and then focus on what you do know that he wants. Forgive somebody who wronged you that you have put off forgiving. Show compassion to someone in need that your heart went out to it, but you didn't do anything about it. Forsake a sin that you've been sheltering, pretending it's not there. Be honest with someone who needs to know the truth. Maybe you're the one who can give it to them, and maybe the only one. Something that you know he wants, but you've been neglecting, or you've been putting off. Obedience to do what you know God wants is often the next step in God's progressive guidance. Show God that you are willing to obey him. It's how Jesus knows who is actually following it. He'll make sure that we don't get lost. Well, that's all for today. Till next time, God bless.